So we began seeing this Gemara yesterday, complicated piece of Gemara. We have six lots of Edim. I assume it's pouring with rain with you as well in Aleph.
Yes, yes, indeed.
What about Nathaniel, Larry? You got any rain there? You're going to tell me it's tropical sun?
No, it's actually been pouring, but the ocean is magnificent right now because it's like very, very rough. And to look, it's really, you sit here and you see Hashem's incredible unlimited power as it changes from minute to minute.
They'd have to make us jealous, Larry, of the, look at the
No,
ocean.
No, Jill. It's like one of these. It's one of these unique opportunities when you look out at the ocean. It's like you see the vastness of
You're
Hashem's
still down in
power.
front of you? Larry, you're looking at the ocean now?
Yeah.
Just turn around your computer a second. Let's have a look. Wow. Incredible. I'm looking out my window now, and I have a bird's eye view of two tractors there digging up the ground in there. Over the wall of my fence. It's not, I can't,
you know,
quite
actually, that's not the ocean. That's the Mediterranean.
In the world of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid, you know, you have, you, if you're blessed to be put in a particular situation that has its chesronos for a million reasons, you guys could never live here. But for me, if I'm saying, okay, why am I here? This is one of the most incredible, even though it's not the Red Sea, but Parshas B'Shalach, you sit here, you think about how a sea like this would open. They get it's an amazing. It's just amazing. It's just
beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay. So we had a Gemara yesterday. We spoke about six people. We have Reuben and Shimon, who are brought in by the husband to testify against the wife, accusing her of doing zanus. In walk now Levi and Yehuda. They're brought in by the father, and they are Mazim, the first Edim, upon which numbers 5 and 6, we'll call them Yehuda and Yisachar, and now Mazim, the second lot of Edim, in which case the first lot of Edim are now reinstated. This is complicated, Medav Halton Kop. So when numbers 3 and 4 were Mazim, number 1 and 2, which are the Edim brought in by the husband, what happens to them? So the Gemara says they get killed. We haven't yet killed them, and that's why 5 and 6 still could come in and be mazim them. But this is what the punishment we're going to give them. We're going to kill Edim numbers 1 and 2. Why? Because this is always the principle. Ka'asher zomam. Va'asisem loy ka'asher zomam. Exactly what they were plotting to do, that's what happens to them. So what were they planning on doing? They clearly were planning on having this woman killed because they were accusing her, apparently falsely, of committing znus, therefore they need to be killed. One moment. They were also trying to be mafsid her ksuba. Says the Gemara, that's true, but that's not what we do to Edim number 1 and 2. Why not? Because if there's two punishments, death and momoin, we only give them the more strict punishment. So at this stage of the game, numbers 3 and 4 have been mazim number 1 and 2. What are we going to do to number 1 and 2? We're going to give them misa. We are not going to give them momoin again.
Can I ask a quick question? May I? Rabbi?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, it's really two different punishments because what they were trying to do to be killed is to kill her. But they were trying to take the mamon off the father. The ksuba is an attack on the father, not her.
One second. Let's go through. We're going to see this in Rashi. 1 second. So now there's two punishments, misa and mamon. We're only going to inflict misa on numbers 1 and 2 because this is always the principle that when you have two punishments, you have to give the stricter of the two. This is called komlei midrabamine. Now that was not the end of the story. Because numbers 5 and 6 are brought in by the husband, and they are now mazim numbers 3 and 4, who are the Edim brought in by the father. Remember, initially the husband brought number 1 and 2. Then the father brought 3 and 4 to knock out 1 and 2. And now the husband comes back with 5 and 6 to knock out 3 and 4, which brings back 1 and 2. So here the Gemara said, what are we now going to do with 3 and 4? 3 and 4 have turned out to be Edim Zemamin, and they were trying to get Edim number 1 and 2 killed. So clearly, Edim number 1 and 2 are not killed because they've been reinstated, but 3 and 4 will be killed. because once 5 and 6 were Mazim 3 and 4, so Yehuda and Yisachar were Mazim Levi and Yehuda. Levi and Yehuda will have to be killed by virtue of the fact that they were trying to inflict the death sentence on numbers 1 and 2, Reuben and Shimon. That's number 1. Number 2, says the Gemara, in addition, numbers 3 and 4 will have to pay up 100 kesef. Why? Because number 3 and 4, what were they trying to do? When they were accusing the Edim of the husband to be liars, which in turn means that they are effectively saying that the husband is a liar. When he's accusing his new wife of committing znus, it turns out that in fact she didn't commit znus, in which case he has slandered his wife. And for slandering a wife, you've got to pay the father of the bride 100 zuz. So therefore, numbers 3 and 4, in addition to wanting to have numbers 1 and 2 killed, they also wanted to have the husband pay 100 zuz to the father-in-law. Those are the two things that they were trying to inflict, says the Gemara. Therefore, now that they have turned out to be Edim Zonimin, because numbers 5 and 6, Yisachar and Zvulun, have been mazim them, so that is exactly what happens to numbers 3 and 4. They will be killed, and they will also have to pay mamon. How can that be? Surely if there's two punishments, you only give the one, the more strict of the two. So that's when the Gemara says that no, mamon lezer, the nefashos lezer, because it was two separate issues. They were trying to have Edim number 1 and 2 killed. That was a personal attack on the Edim. They, number 3 and 4, were trying to get number 1 and 2 killed. So now number 3 and 4 will be killed. In addition and parallel to that, they were now attacking somebody else. They were also attacking the husband, accusing him of slandering his wife, and he therefore has to pay up 100 zuz to the father. So therefore, number Edim, 3 and 4, in a separate attack, they were attacking both the first Edim and also the husband. What were they trying to do to the Edim? Have them killed, so they will be killed. What were they trying to do to the husband? Pay him up, get him to pay 100 zuz, so they will get to pay 100 zuz. That's what the Gemara says. Now, have a look at Rashi. Towards the end of the narrow line, says Rashi, Eide Habaal Neherogin. This was the first stage after Reuben and Shimon turned out to be false witnesses, Zemimin, because number 3 and 4 are Mazimim. So at that stage we say, Eide Habaal Neherogin. Why? Sheba'u Lahorgo. Because they were coming to try and get her killed. That was their initial Eidos. When they were initially brought into Beis Din by the husband, and they accused the wife of committing zinus and telling her that she's chayav to be killed, therefore they also have to be killed. However, says Rashi, now the long Rashi, but ve'ein meshalmin mamoin, but they will not, in addition to that, also have to pay the mamoin. They will not have this second punishment. Says Rashi, why not? Says Rashi, Af al pi, even though shehoyu mafsidin oisa ksuba, even though they were trying to be mafsid her the ksuba, which means they effectively had a double attack on her. Number one, they were trying to get her killed. Number two, they were trying to get her ksuba to be mafsid. Nonetheless, ein meshalmin, they do not have to pay. These Edim number 1 and 2, they do not have to pay Toivas Hanoas Ksubaso. They do not have to pay the Hanoa, the benefit accrued by the Ksuba. Kedin Shar Zoymame Ksuba B'mesechtes Makois. Like normally the halach is, what happens if two Edim come to Beis Din and they say, for whatever reason, that the woman doesn't deserve a Ksuba? And then it turns out they're being Edim Zaymin. So they've got to pay. They've got to pay the value of the ksuba. So why don't I say that over here as well? The answer is the kiven de bishvilo hein ne'erogim. It is because of her that they will be killed, because they were trying to get her killed. So ultimately, where is this chiyuv misa on the Edom coming from? It's coming from her, because Edom number one and two were trying to get her killed. And if they were trying to get her killed as a result of the woman, the Edom will be killed. If that's the case, ein mishalmin lo mamoin. So they cannot be expected and obligated to pay her, that very same woman, the mammon of the ksuba. Why? To mischayev the nafshoi. Because whoever is chayev by their life, meaning whoever's chayev a death penalty, potur min atashlumin, is exempt from all monetary obligations, diksiv. Because it says in the Torah, loy yeh osoin onoish yeonish, quote unquote. Where is that a quote from? That is a quote from a pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim. What does it say there? It says there, if somebody would be attack a pregnant woman, and as a result of the attack, she lost her unborn child. So the Torah says that the attacker has to pay her a financial reimbursing, as it were, for the child, Rachmana Litzlan, who was lost. However, the Torah adds that only if loy yeh osein, only if there was no accident for the woman herself. Meaning, the unborn child was lost, but the mother, the pregnant mother, was not. Under those circumstances, he's got a financial obligation to reimburse, as it were, for the unborn child. So what is it meduyik in the pasuk? It's meduyik that if, however, there would be an osein, and the mother would have died as well, in which case the attacker is chayev misa, well, then he would not be chayev mamon. So this is the makor of the famous rule, kom lei b'derabamine, that when there's two punishments, misa and mamon, you only get misa. And that's what the Torah is saying. In which case will be chayav to pay mamoin, only if lo yeh osein, there was no accident with regard to the mother. So there's no chayav misa. If there's no chayav misa, there's only a chayav mamoin, you can give them the chayav mamoin. But were there to be a chayav misa, then there could be no chayav mamoin.
But isn't the chayav mamoin with the father?
No.
Why? He's the one with the exchange of money in ksubas with the father.
No, not the ksuba. Only the knas, the knas. The knas goes to the father. Now, one second. Rush is going to discuss now the knas. Ve'i mishum meyosela dehava bo'u lafside la'av. What about the knas? What about the knas that they were trying to be mafsid? V'havalei misa lezeh le'isho, v'tashlumin lezeh la'av. What's Rashi's kasha? What's Rashi's kasha? What happened to the knas over here? Now, which knas? This husband is slandering his wife. Okay? What's he saying? That I accuse, and here the Edom to back it up, I accuse my wife of committing znus. And it turns out, when numbers 3 and 4 come to Bezdin, that numbers 1 and 2 are liars, the Edom Zemimin, in which case, numbers 1 and 2 are not correct, she never committed znus, and the husband is slandering the husband, the new wife, and we'll have to pay a knas to
the father.
To the father. Says Rashi, Lav alayhu romu l'shalumi. That's not on them to pay. Elo alabal. That's the husband's chiv. Shahari al yodon habal bo l'shalim la'av. It is through them, through numbers 3 and 4, that the husband will now have to pay up to the father. The kolzman shaloi hevi habal edim shezin sotachto. Because as long as the husband had not ever brought edim to accuse of committing zinus under his jurisdiction, einoi mischayev l'shalem meyosela alidei atzmai. He would never have ever been mechuyev to pay up 100 sela just on his own volition without the edim. Kedamrino b'ksubas. Deloy korinom be, we do not refer to this as quote unquote v'im emes hoyo hadovo. The belav edim loy miktala. If there's no edim, then she's not going to be put to death. Hilkoch ihu nami loy mechayev Elohim kein hevi edim shazinso v'huzmu. What's Rashi saying over here? What does it require for the husband to have to pay a knas to the father? The answer is, it needs edim. What happens if a person just accuses his wife of committing znos and it turns out it's not true? Is there a knas? The answer is no. There is only a knas when edim are brought to the bezdin by the husband. That's called slandering the wife. Slandering the wife doesn't just mean placing the accusation. It means bringing edim to that effect. Okay. When he initially brought edim to the bezdin, we had no reason to doubt the validity of this edim. So we didn't think he's slandering his wife. We thought that he's making a very fair accusation. In fact, he's got edim to back it up. Now that three and four knocked out numbers one and two, it turns out that the Baal really did slander his wife in the worst possible way with edim, and he's got to pay the money. So therefore, there's no reason why edim number three and four should pay a knas. Sorry, numbers one and two, excuse me, should pay a knas. Number one and two, what were they trying to do? The only thing the numbers one and two were trying to do is they were trying to have the woman killed. For that reason, they're killed. They were trying to damage the ksuba, but that we cannot obligate them. Why? Because you cannot give two punishments. With regard to the knas, that's all the husband's doing. By virtue of the fact that he brought these edim, who have turned out to be edim zemimin, so he has now slandered his wife, and indeed, he will be chayev to pay the knas. Not the edim, he will be chayev to pay the knas.
Then when five and six come, they should owe him the knas.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
There's Rashi. Vehezimum le'edei ho'av. Now numbers five and six come, and they are mazim, numbers three and four. And they say to them, heich, says Rashi, heich atem mazimim es elu. How can you, number three and four, possibly be mazim, number one and two, loima to say, she'imochem hoyu, that you are with us, but mochem ploini. How can you possibly say that? V'haloi atem imonu hoyisem b'mochem ploini. How can you be mazim others by accusing them of saying that you are with us at the time? In fact, no, you yourselves are with us at the time elsewhere. So again, what's the story over here? Numbers one and two accuse the woman of committing znus on Tuesday evening in Bet Shemesh. Numbers three and four say, excuse me, on Tuesday evening you are not in Bet Shemesh, you are with us in Yerushalayim. Number five and six say to number three and four, excuse me, on Tuesday evening as you are with us in Bnei Brak. So how can you accuse number one and two of being with you in Yerushalayim when you yourselves were not in Yerushalayim, you in fact were in Bnei Brak? So therefore, number three and four have turned out to be liars. So what do we do? Says Rashi, Edei Ho'av Neherogim. The Edim brought by the father, meaning number three and four, are killed. Because that's what they wanted to do to the Edei Habal. Sherotsu Laharoig Edei Habal. Because numbers three and four wanted to have number one and two killed. Not only that, umashal min momoin, meo kesef labao. They also have a penalty of the 100 kesef to the Baal Sheba'u lechayvoi. They were coming to obligate him kishehezimu es edov. When numbers 3 and 4 tried to knock out number 1 and 2, so effectively they were accusing the husband of being moitzi shemra and of being chayva knas. Well, now that they themselves have been found to be liars, that's exactly what they themselves have to do. Says Rashi, why? Because mamon lezer, the mamon is going to the Baal, that's one judgment. The nefash leis lezer, the nehrogim b'shvil ho'edim. The kasova Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef holds ki potar rachmona. When did the Torah exempt a mischayev benafshoy min atashlomin? That's not in every case. That's only hecha de misa umamoin. That's only when both punishments are coming from one address. Mishum chad ka'asu alau. That's coming from one address. So therefore, in a normal case where the misa and the mamon combine, well, then you can't get both punishments. But here they don't combine. They're not coming from one address. The misa is what they were trying to inflict on the edim. The mamon is what they were trying to inflict in the baal. And therefore, obviously, they would have two punishments. I think somebody yesterday mentioned an example. What happens if somebody with his right hand commits a murder, and at the same time, with his left hand, he commits damage to somebody else? Will he be chayev two punishments, both the death penalty and also to pay damages? Obviously, yes. The fact that they happen to coincide is just a coincidence, as it were, because he did them at the same time. But it's not one address that's been chayev both. So too over here. They were trying to kill the Edim. So the Edim say, right, you have to now be killed. They were trying to get the Baal to pay the Momen. So they'll have to pay the Baal Momen.
In the ksuba, when there's a 100 or 200, depending on the woman gets the money for the ksuba or the father on a basula? Isn't it the father that gets the money on the ksuba?
Even if it's the father, but as Rashi says, it's al yodo, it's because of the woman. It's because of the woman.
So then how is that different on the knas? It's because of the woman that the knas, it's because of him, because he lied, that's why.
He slandered it, right, exactly. Okay, let's make a start now to the next Gemara. The Omar of Yosef. Why does it say the Omar of Yosef with a Vav? Because the last piece of Gemara was also of Yosef. The last piece of Gemara was Omar of Yosef, and now the Gemara is saying the Omar of Yosef. By the way, you may have noticed that we have done very, very little Tosafim since we've begun Sanhedrin. And the reason is not that we can't be bothered to do Tosafim, chas v'shalom, but almost all the Tosafim, and I've checked every single one, obviously, almost all the Tosafim have taken us off on a complete tangent. And we like to try to stick the Tosafim that are keeping local to the Pshat in the Sugya. But if there are any Tosafim like that, for sure, obviously, we will learn them. The Omer of Yosef, says the Gemara, Ploini Rav'oi La'omsoi. And what does the word Rav'oi mean? Says Rashi, Ploini Ravoi b'mishkav zocher. This is a relationship, an illicit relationship between two male people. Mishkav zocher. Now, mishkav zocher, like any relationship, can either happen b'rotzoi or b'oinus. Either one of the parties was forced, or they were not forced at all and they acquiesced. Now, normally, in a normal case of Mishkav Zocher, where both parties acquiesced and neither of them were forced, the halacha is the Chayev Misa. If one of them forced the other, then obviously the one who forced, he's killed, and the other one is not, obviously because he was an oinus. Now we're asking a very, very, very important shayla, and this is a whole new sugya, Rabbi Say. Can the victim testify against the criminal? Against the perpetrator, the one who committed the crime? So obviously, in cases of murder, it's not negir, the person's dead. But over here, where somebody says, Reuven says that Shimon forced me into this maisa together with him. He was Barotzen, but I was Ba'inus. So that's what Rabbi Yosef is talking about. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yosef, Pliny, Ravoy, La'insoy. Somebody, Pliny, X, Reuven will call him, was Reveya, which is the word we always use for Mishkav Zohar, but it was done La'insoy. La'insoy means forced, as Rashi says, La'insoy al Korchay. Says the Gemara, who? That means the victim. The Acher and some other fellow, Mitstarefin Lahoragai. They can be Mitstaref, they can join forces to have Shimon killed. So who turns up in Bezdin over here? Reuven and Levi. And Reuven and Levi accuse Shimon of committing Mishkav Zohar. So the Beis Din asked them, okay, he was the perpetrator, and who was the victim? And Reuven says, actually, I was the victim. So Rabbi Yosef is telling you, the fact that he's a victim does not disqualify him from being an aid. Says Rashi, Pliny Ravoy b'mishkav zocher lo'insay al-korchay, hu v'acher. Hanirba, what's the nirba? We spoke before about the word reveya. Reveya is the perpetrator. Hanirba is the victim. The victim of Mishkav Zohar. So Hanirba, the one who was the victim, that's we're calling Reuven in our story, Hazer, kosher lahoid olav. Kosher to testify about Shimon, obviously providing that there's another aid. V'imyesh acher imoy. Therefore, if there is somebody else with him, i.e. Levi, nerag hareveya, the reveya, the perpetrator, will be killed al pihem, by the mouth of them. But there was one word in this Gemara that was critical. Because the Gemara said that we're talking about where Reuven was the victim, meaning it happened by Oinus. And what happens if it was done Barotzin? What happens if Reuven and Levi, in the exact same scenario, but one detail changed? If they come to Beis Din and they say, we are hereby testifying that Shimon committed Mishkav Zohar. Okay, who with? Actually, with me. Were you forced into it? No, I acquiesced. Totally Barotzin.
Can't says, testify against yourself.
Oh, says the Gemara, next line, Liritzoinoi. If he claims, however, it was not La'oinso, he was not forced, but rather it was Liritzoinoi, it was by his will, Roshahu. Then effectively, what is he saying? He is accusing himself of being a Rasha. Vatoka Omra al Toshes Rasha, aid. You cannot make a Rasha into an aid.
By the way, are the halachas the same if it's a woman?
One second. So what's the Gemara saying? There is a fundamental difference between an Oinus and a Rotzin. Because if this happened by Oinus, obviously it's no fault of his own. He's not a Rasha. He's a tzaddik. So he's a perfect witness. The fact that he's testifying about something that happened to him does not disqualify him. When, however, he describes the act to have taken place Barotzin, then effectively he's admitting that he's a Rasha. Because if he did a Barotzin, then he's saying that I committed an Avera. I was a Rasha. Well, if that's the case, you've just disqualified yourself from being an aid. Therefore, Shimon, who's the one being accused, cannot possibly be killed because who are the two Edim? Reuven and Levi, but Reuven's been disqualified because Reuven admitted that it was done Baratze. Well, if it was done Baratze, then you're just as big a Rasha as Shimon. In which case, a Rasha can't be an Edim, you just disqualified yourself. If you disqualified yourself, there's no two Edim. Legaben Isha, that's a whole subject. Maybe we'll make mention of it. But have a look, you'll see there's a Rashi at the bottom of the Omud, and then the Sugya over the next Omud, and that Be'ez Hashem is what we'll begin with tomorrow.
No, but I mean, in terms of an Isha, like if the woman comes and says, I was taken advantage of, can she, and one aid and her, it should be the same halacha.
100%, if she was forced, if she was done by Inus.
Right.
Yep. But can a woman be an aid?
Yes. Not in the case of Nefashis, though.
Yeah, but wouldn't this, if a man took advantage of a woman, it's not nefashis, it's not chayav mesa.
It is, but you have to have two edim who are men.
So then, therefore, in the case of a woman, she cannot testify against him and say he was forced.
For a different reason, right? For a different reason, correct? Yeah, Ramesh Azeli.
Is it because the particular love done is classified? He's classified as a Russia. Is that why he cannot testify against himself? Because I'm sure there are other loving where we don't call somebody a Rashi.
So we'll see in Rashi where this applies. But in this particular case where he himself has accused himself of being over an Aveira, he becomes a Rasha. Whether every single person who's over an Aveira is also considered a Rasha is a whole separate discussion.
But I think what Moshe Zelig is also saying true, I think, but I'm not sure. I think I've learned, and it could be wrong, that you can't testify against yourself. You're not reliable. There's something
that's
wrong with
gonna
you.
That's going to be the next Rashi. Have a look at the next Rashi.
Regardless of the Rasha, not Rasha, Moshe Zelig, I think you're right. In terms of
that's the next line and the next Rashi, 100%.
Okay, Shakoach.